Welcome to the Huntington Disease edition of Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the HD community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, special correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor, reporting today from Blankenberg, Belgium. The European Huntington Association is meeting here in its first annual conference since 2019, and our guest is Dr. Herwig Lange, a German neurologist as well as psychiatrist with the University Hospital of Düsseldorf. He specialized in Huntington disease since 1969, with clinical work starting in 1980. Dr. Lange is president of the German Huntington Association. Thank you so much for being our guest today.
It's a pleasure on my side.
So you have been covering and dealing with Huntington disease since 1969. That's a very long time. What changes have you seen in terms of diagnosis and treatment of this disease?
Well, let me tell you that since the discovery of the gene, the aspects of the disease have changed. Now we know that it was an ingenious invention of Mother Nature to create that gene. Without that Huntington gene, there wouldn't be in the animal world, there wouldn't be any human being. And the invention of the CAG repeat in the Huntington gene is the next big invention of Mother Nature. The more CAG is present in a species, the more brain that species has. So we top the evolutionary chain with the highest number of CAG, about 70 to 28, and we have the highest brain-body mass ratio. So sometimes you wonder what mankind does with that amount of brain, but that's another story.
So, but sometimes things go wrong and mutations develop.
Yeah, and this trick of increasing CAG is still relevant in humans today. So the normal brain cell doesn't suffer when it has 40 CAGs. Quite the opposite. It works better. A brain with 40 CAGs is proven to work better than a brain with a normal 17 or 18 or 20 CAG. The brain functions better, faster brain. But since the number of CAGs increases in the brain, that takes a decade or two or three, so it comes up from a 40 to a 80 or even a 100 before the disease symptoms appear. These high numbers, these are causing the problem in the brain cells, not the normal numbers, not even a 40 CAG that improves brain function. So this is a very new story that has to be told to the families, because they always feel that is a curse. Really struck by fate, and this is all bad, but it is not. It's a privilege to start with a better brain, but we have to prevent the expansion of the CAG number in the brain cells. That is the important part.
But the explanation that this is an act of Mother Nature is not really much consolation to those who have the disease and their families.
Once they understand that this was a trick to increase brain power, maybe they use their healthy lifetime, that is at least two-thirds of their lives, to use their brain to their best and prepare for the part when the disease strikes. And research must focus on stopping that expansion of the CAG numbers in the brain.
So in a way, what you're saying is quite intriguing. You're saying that patients with Huntington's may tend to be more intelligent or have higher IQs?
Family tell, these were our smart kids first.
Really?
And it's proven. The kids with 40 CAG have a better IQ than kids with 17 CAG and the Huntington gene. They're smarter.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay, so in your research, you have been known about your expertise in seeing patients with Huntington's and advising them. And you have advocated in the past that lifestyle is at least as much as important, if not more important, than medication.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that, please?
Yes, I will. You know who was one of the first psychiatrists who mentioned that stress is deleterious for HD? It was the physician of Woody Guthrie. Dr. John Witcher on Long Island, he published a paper shortly after Buddy Garcia's death and said, if we could prevent stress, we could delay onset. He wrote that 1970-something.
Wow. So stress is a major factor?
It is, yeah.
Okay.
You can get a brain malfunction just because you are in chronic stress. Like we call it in Germany, burnout, specialty for many high-ranking top managers.
High-performing people.
Yeah, or even those in hospital working under constant stress day and night. They overdo their stress load, and the brain says, no more function. So this is a natural phenomenon. And now imagine the brain is weaker in the resilience because the energy supply in the brain is weaker. And all the repair mechanisms, this is another important aspect of the Huntington gene. It repairs both the brain that controls that, and it controls the DNA repair. So this is a double vicious cycle. Bad instructions how to repair, and then bad instructions how to repair the brain. So stress is really harmful for any brain, and especially if you carry the mutation with too many CAGs.
So so we understand better. People with a family history of Huntington obviously understand the risks.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, from what I have seen, people with Huntington are maybe 25% of them are addicted either to alcohol or tobacco.
Yes.
Or drugs.
Yeah.
Is that because they're stressed about the disease?
Many people think alcohol is a solution to reduce stress. It's putting oil in fire.
But in fact, it's making the disease much worse.
Yes, it is. So
okay.
One has to teach families how to cope with chronic stress. Better to get out of chronic stress, but if that is a situation that they cannot solve, they have to revise their coping mechanisms. That can be taught by psychological help, by training in yoga.
Or meditation, for
meditation,
example.
Wonderful idea, yeah.
How important is exercise in delaying the onset of Huntington?
Definitely. Like in sports, if you have talent and have a good trainer, you are in the top league. If you have talent and a bad trainer, you are just amateur style. And if you lack both, you will be much more affected earlier. Any kind, in any disease that affects the brain, those who are well trained, both mentally and physically, will always suffer less and recover, if there's a chance to recover, much faster.
So obviously, it's clear to me that if you have tested positive and you know that someday you will get Huntington, you can't avoid it. You will get it, but what you're saying is you can delay it.
That is correct. So what matter does it do to get any disease after age 75? Anybody who believes that he's a healthy person at age 75 is either optimistic or has dumb doctors. You are not healthy at age 75. You have some spinal and joint.
Everybody's got something.
Everybody got something. So know what the problem is, how to handle that, and keep on living a happy lifestyle. So this is so important in Huntington's disease. If we teach them, look for problems, try to avoid them, if not how to cope with them. This is easily said, but hard to do, but constant teaching and reassuring, this will work. We have differences of 25 years in SNPs with the same number of CAG. The one is affected at age 50, the brother is affected at age 75. Look at stress and you find the answer.
Even something as simple as drinking coffee, does that have an effect?
Moderate coffee is good for the brain, especially after lunchtime, espresso, half an hour lap time, then the coffee will work in the brain and you are relaxed and you can do another job on the afternoon in the workplace and in HD as well.
So caffeine is not necessarily bad for Huntington.
No, but 8 liters of coffee, that won't work anywhere. So moderate consumption of caffeine is a good idea. Yeah.
What about, let's talk specifically about diet.
So the Mediterranean diet, everybody knows the data, the Mediterranean diet is healthy, gives a longer lifetime, especially when you look at countries where the stress level is high and pollution is high and stuff like that. Sound level at night, you don't get a good night's sleep, where brain repair takes part and DNA repair takes part. So if you add to that a bad diet, fast food on the go, you don't have to wait for long to get some kind of illness.
I understand. So Germany is the largest country in the EU, population-wise, mm-hmm. what, 82 million people. Mm-hmm. You also have one of the best developed healthcare networks when it comes to treatment also for rare disease. Roughly how many Germans have Huntington, and what is their status at present?
Well, I expect more than 14,000 patients in Germany, because looking at the prevalence of the gene, in northern countries, Western Europe, North America, we have to expect 140 persons per 100,000 population that carry the mutation that has expanded CAG gene number in the Huntington gene. So the literature tells us there are only 14 patients per 100,000 in these Western countries. Where are the rest of the patients? We are as the discrepant by a factor 10, 14 patients and 140 with the mutation. So we have to reduce from the 140 the two-thirds period of life where you're healthy. Usually, let's say it starts at age 50 and you die at age 75, so you have 50 years without the gene and without symptom, with the gene but without symptoms, and then 25 more years with the gene and symptoms.
Do you advocate that patients or with a family history should get tested?
No, this is highly personal. They have to make informed choices. They must know everything that is involved, and we tell everybody that wants to be tested, if you are happy with the 50-50 solution, you know where you are. You never know what will happen once you know if you have the mutation or you don't have the mutation. We have heard today stories about how hard it is to live without the mutation, survivor guilt. This can really pull you down. Or you can be unhappy from the day on after you know you carry the mutation. One third of these people are unhappy from that moment on. One third.
That they know that they will get the disease.
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of obvious why they would be unhappy.
But two thirds cope well. They turn to a healthy lifestyle. They focus on what is bringing me joy, what is the pleasure of the moment. They don't think about 20 years ahead. They think about 20 hours ahead. And they say, what is the next good thing to do?
Interesting.
Yeah, and that works. And that is the best therapy could offer, because that itself postpones the onset. And we are talking 20 years.
Dr. Lange, we're almost out of time. I wanted to ask you, and if we could end on this note, you do have a bit of a reputation of being very skeptical of pharmaceutical companies and their trials. Yeah. Where does this skepticism come from?
Well, you have heard about the Roche trial. It started a big trial with more than 700 patients on a drug that was problematic in the pre-run study. There were 40 patients, and when we looked at these 40 patients in the first small trial, they had enlarged ventricles, and they did not really profit under treatment. And in the big trial, I predicted that both the ventricles would enlarge and that the patients that were dosed frequently would probably do worse in function than those on the placebo or low dose.
So you predicted that the trial would fail?
Yeah.
And in fact it did?
It did, yeah. And I was not very pleased with the way Roche handled that fiasco, because they never did a follow-up study on these patients. They just dropped that. They did not run a follow-up study after 1 year to look how do look is their brain looking, and how is the brain functioning.
How do you assess the current trials in progress on Huntington?
I really think it's not a wise idea to invite young patients with low disease problems into a new study with that drug. We don't advise to follow that.
Are there any particular trials that ongoing that you are hopeful about?
Well, the data with pidopidine, they are the best data so far we have seen, because there are data in patients not treated by any other drug, just with pidopidine. Their motor behavior is better by measuring, and their cognition by good testing is better. So these are two effects never seen in any trial before.
So in summary, are you hopeful about reaching some kind of treatment or even a cure, let's say, in the next 5 years?
Best treatment right now is reduce your stress, out of chronic stress, healthy lifestyle, and good social support. That is very effective in all of us. The lockdown in COVID, and there's a research study, it changed the brains more rapidly than aging because of the social isolation. So prevent that, healthy lifestyle, happy lifestyle, and you have an effective treatment. We are talking 20 years.
So no more pandemics, hopefully. Dr. Lange, thank you so much for speaking with us.
What a pleasure.
This is Larry Luxner for Rare Disease Advisor. Thank you.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.